from the South Point studio. The perfect blend of sports.
But I think the Niners are going to wear them down.
Detroit Pistons lost their 36 games.
Comedy.
See over under on that relationship lasting. I'm going to put mayo in the coffee.
Yes. I am beautiful.
And a whole lot of Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
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 Yeah. Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh. Join Ryan McCormick.
That's at least two picks outside of our own in the first round next year.
For real.
And host Frank Nicotero.
And I look at the clock, I go,
Watch Punchlines live at noon every weekday.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning.
A Las Vegas radio program as we kick off another week of covering the great sport of kings, horse racing, Las Vegas style, as we come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at the South Point Studios on the YouTube South Point Studios streaming TV network. We welcome you to the show. And of course, as I say, we come to you from the South Point Hotel Casino Complex here on Las Vegas Boulevard in Las Vegas. And, of course, all of the other platforms that we have that we welcome every day to our show as well, like the folks listening to us on the radio here in town, just in case you're running around this morning, our anchor station, Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM. And, of course, your internet, we've got our internet websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world.global. We're streaming there as well. And, of course, can't forget your devices, that's for sure, your iPhones or your Androids. We got the apps there. The KSHP app will have you listening to us via the radio station. And, of course, the YouTube app you can put on your devices. You can see and hear us now from the South Point Studios streaming network on YouTube. So we welcome you no matter how you get us on your devices, iPhones, Androids, podcasting, etc. Welcome to the show, however, wherever, whenever. Well, it continues to be here hot in Las Vegas. We're under another extreme heat warning here in Vegas. Want to remind everybody out there that if you're coming here, or certainly if you are here in town, remember that the heat gets to you right away. Before you find yourself sweating, you'll already be dehydrated. So remember to keep a lot of water, drink a lot of water if you're going to be outside. Preferably stay inside in the hot daytime here. And also check on your elderly neighbors or friends or certainly family, because it does affect them as well. And, of course, the kids and the pets got to stay inside for most of the day today just to be safe when we're going under the extreme heat. Right now here in Las Vegas, 84 degrees. We're going to get up to 109, and that's just going to be the way it is. We're going to be between like 108 and 110 degrees in the afternoons. Plenty of sunshine here for the rest of the week here in Las Vegas if you are making plans to join us this weekend here in your gaming capital, that's for sure. Well, we are now going through the transition of the second sort of half of the season. After the Triple Crown is over, you know, we take a look at races like the Haskell and the Travers and the Pennsylvania Derby, etc. And then, of course, the march on the way to the Breeders' Cup, because that's when the three-year-olds have to mix it up with the older handicap division on the way to, of course, the championship day at the end of October, beginning of November in the Breeders' Cup. So that's where we're at right now. But we're also in a transition as far as the racetracks are concerned. As you know, Golden Gate closed forever on Sunday. It was kind of a bittersweet ending there at Golden Gate. We'll have a chat about that with John Lenda when he gets to us a little bit later on. But Northern California Racing is really trying to stay positive, and they're trying to reconstruct something up there. And now we get to the Northern California Fairs. You know, for the most part, the Northern California Fairs started really horse racing resurgency way back when, and it still holds its value today, especially up in Northern California. So we're going to get into the Northern California Racing Fair soon. And of course, they're trying to put together a special package of racing that Golden Gate vacated, of course, with the closing of Golden Gate at some of the fair facilities like Pleasanton and maybe Santa Rosa, etc., with meets, individual meets of their own as well. So we'll be waiting to see that. As a matter of fact, Pleasanton starts sometime this week. Later on this week, we'll have racing from Pleasanton in Northern California after the, as I say, bittersweet closing of Golden Gate. We'll talk a little bit about that with John Lindo a little bit later on. Rich Engleby along with us, taking a look at the NBA Finals, which, of course, we'll get another game coming up here soon. And, of course, Jonathan Hardoon will be back with us right after the break and after the menu. And we'll be talking to Jonathan, taking a look at, you know, the three-year-olds and the Triple Crown Series and how much they really mean and what kind of a foothold they have for the three-year-old division for the rest of the year. And, of course, we'll have Richie, as I said, as well as John. So we got a lot to cover on the show. First of all, a couple of news items. We understand that Santa Anita, you remember they put that training track in inside the grass oval that, of course, is inside the main dirt oval. So you got the dirt, the grass, and then the synthetic racetrack. Well, now we hear that coming up during the end of this year in the 2024-2025, easy for me to say, winter and spring meet at Santa Anita, they are going to run races on that synthetic training track at Santa Anita. So they're planning on racing on that when they have, you know, the inclement weather there in Southern California. We'll wait and see how that works because it's inside the grass oval, which makes those turns very tight and makes it a smaller racetrack, obviously. We'll, of course, talk a little bit about that as we get closer to there. But the winter meet 2024, at the end of 2024, beginning of 2025, they're going to plan on doing some racing on the synthetic racetrack there, as they do, of course, at the Gulfstream Park with their synthetic track as well. Wyda Barrio, who was originally trained by Safi Joseph Jr., as you remember, and then when Safi Joseph Jr. got in that problem with the drug and suspension that he had, the ownership of White Barrio moved that horse out of Saffy Joseph Barnes and then consequently won the Breeders' Cup Classic. Well, he didn't do so well in the Met Mile over the past weekend out at Saratoga. And lo and behold, the ownership has decided to bring White Barrio back to Saffy Joseph Jr. So Saffy Joseph Jr. is now the retrainer, so to speak, of White Barrio. And that's kind of, well, I'll just leave it at that. That's the way it is in horse racing. Steve Asmussen has had a judgment ruled against him in the Kentucky courts that he has now a $486,000 stipend that he has to pay to 163 past workers of his, $243,260 and past wages that they didn't get, and the rest of the amount to add up to $486,000 will be in damages and wages. So there was a judgment levied against Steve Asmussen, and that judgment was decided upon in the Kentucky courts, where now he has to make restitution and pay almost $500,000 between wages and damages to 163 different people that worked for him when they said he didn't pay them overtime when they were working overtime. So we'll wait and see how that shakes out. All right. As far as coming up this weekend, on Saturday, Aqueduct will have a Grade 3. Churchill Downs will have a couple of stakes races there. Monmouth Park is going to have four stakes races on Saturday, three of them Grade 3s. And, of course, we'll have a stakes race at Pleasanton, at Emerald Downs, Gulfstream Park, and at Santa Anita. And as far as Sunday is concerned, Aqueduct will give us another stakes race. Laurel, Hawthorne, Monmouth, and Emerald Downs will also have a stakes race each. And Santa Anita will have two stakes races, one of which will be a Grade 3 this weekend, as we start moving in to the summertime. Remember, this is going to be the last week of racing out at Santa Anita during the Hollywood meet, and then Los Alamitos will kick in with their thoroughbred meet coming up thereafter. We'll have Bob Mazursky back with us reporting for Los Alamitos when that starts. And then after that, we get to part of the summertime group. Del Mar will start, and of course Saratoga will kick in July, and then we'll have spa racing from the coast to upstate New York, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for our summertime racing at the two huge race meets, Del Mar and Saratoga. That's what's coming. But for this week, we'll close up the Hollywood meet at Santa Anita, and we'll start with the Northern California Pleasanton racing there, and we'll see how that goes, that's for sure. All righty, looking at what happened on Sunday, our handicappers came through big on Sunday. At Santa Anita, Jerry J's fourth race selection not only won and paid $9 even, but he scored out with the Exacta with his link-ups that paid $23.30 for a buck, and a $1 trifecta as well with the link-ups that paid $50.20 for the $1 trifecta there. At Belmont at Saratoga, the final day of the Saratoga four-day Belmont festival there. Well, the rains finally came, and they came hard, and they came, so much so that the Steeplechase Grade 1 stakes race was canceled on Sunday. And, of course, there was a lot of racing on an off track there Sunday. They did have quite a few stakes races, though. The Mike Lee was won by Doc Sullivan, Javier Castellano at 420. The Commentator won by Drake's Passage, Manny Franco at $3.80. Then you had the Critical Eye, that winner, Venti Valentine. Irid Ortiz Jr. aboard was Jonathan Hardoon's selection when we went through those stakes races. That horse paid $7.90. And one of the two link-ups that Jonathan offered in that race finished second, so the dollar exacta paid $20.60 there. In the Mount Vernon, the winner was Silver Skillet for Joel Rosario at $8.40. The Bowery, the 11th race on the card, won by Landed. John Velasquez aboard there. That was John Lindo's pick on the show. Landed paid $5.50 as the favorite, outrunning Caldwell Loves Gold. And in the final race, in the stakes race of the festival there, the Kingston, that was won by Spirit of St. Louis. Manny Franco's third win of the day, $3.70. The final day pick six. Paid $2,692. And additionally, with Jonathan Hardoon's win in the Critical Eye, he also gave us the winner of the seventh race earlier in the day, Raining at the Beach. 10-1 on the morning line, got bet down, but won and paid $7.30. So our handicappers came up big on Sunday, both at Belmont Saratoga and at Santa Anita. And as far as Churchill Downs was concerned, a couple of stakes races there. The Leslie's Lady won by Emery for Brad Cox and Tyler Gaffleone, paying $3.78 as the favorite. The Matt Wynn won by Society Man, trained by Danny Gargan. So Gargan had a big weekend with Doorknock winning the Belmont and Society Man winning the Matt Wynn at Churchill Downs. That paid $14.70 with Christian Torres aboard. And, of course, the end of Golden Gate. The final race ever at Golden Gate was won by Adeli, S.A.L. Espinosa riding for Phil D'Amato. Phil D'Amato sent a horse up there and won the final race at Golden Gate. And yes, it was on the turf, $13 even there. The final pick six payoff at Golden Gate on Sunday, $10,250.74. All right. Enough said there. Time to look ahead to this week. And we will get started with our first break. When we come back, we'll give you a racing menu and then off with Jonathan Hardoon. And so we welcome you as we begin another week of Race Day Las Vegas. Come to you live and direct from the South Point Studios on YouTube right here in Las Vegas, Nevada. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
All righty, back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Wednesday, talking about the Triple Crown and the three-year-olds in the Triple Crown. Of course, a lot of the three-year-olds that are trained by Bob Baffert weren't able to run in the Kentucky Derby, but Bob was represented both in the Preakness and the Belmont Stakes, and he has another three-year-old that you might want to take a look at towards the end of the year. That winner, that horse won the Affirm Stakes at Santa Anita on Sunday very easily. Horse is called Parenting. Paid $3.60 with Juan Hernandez aboard, the Baffert trainee in the Affirmed. And, you know, Baffert's loaded for bear for the three-year-olds, that's for sure. All righty, time to get started with your racing menu for today. Reminding you, as we always do, first post times we broadcast on this racing menu each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone. If you're here in Las Vegas, you'll be playing the races here at the book at South Point. These will be the first post times that roll out in our race books. Otherwise, if you're listening anywhere else in the world in another time zone, adjust to the Pacific time zone to get it right. We don't want you to miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad. And as far as the weather across this country today, it's great, except for a lot of rain going on in South Florida. But it's just over South Florida. Everybody else is clear. So we'll wait and see about that. Here's the menu then. We begin with Delaware Park. Delaware Park has a first post time of 9:30 today, 9:30 at Delaware Park. And then next comes Belterra Park. Belterra Park has a first post time of 9:35, 9:35 at Belterra. Following that, we'll go to Parks Racing. And now Parks Racing has a pick five jackpot carryover, $35,618. And their first post time is 9:40, 9:40 at Parks Racing. Following that, we'll go to Churchill Downs. Churchill Downs has a first post time of 9:45 today. Their pick six jackpot carryover is a goodie, $169,668 in the carryover and the pick six jackpot at Churchill Downs. And again, their first post time at Churchill is set at 9:45. Following that, we'll go to Finger Lakes in upstate New York. Finger Lakes will kick off with their racing program at 10:15, 10:15 at Finger Lakes. Following that, Horseshoe Indianapolis. Horseshoe Indianapolis gets underway at 11:10 at Horseshoe Indianapolis. Following that, we'll go to Presque Isle Downs. Presque Isle Downs has a first post time of 12 high noon, 12 high noon Pacific time, first post time at Presque Isle Downs. And then we'll go to Louisiana Downs. Louisiana Downs has a pick six jackpot carryover, $68,359. First post time is 2:05 at Louisiana Downs. And then we wrap up the nine tracks on the menu today with Penn National. Penn National has a first post time of 2:45 at Penn Nat today. And that's your racing menu for today. And now we'll go to Jonathan Hardoon standing by with us. Jonathan, good morning. Have you had enough rest over the 2 days that we were off?
Town certainly quieted down, Ralph. It's great. It's back to normal. And the weather's been beautiful, so that's all good.
You got to think that it was really crazy there at Saratoga Springs. I mean, it just you could feel the energy coming out, and the crowd was so enthusiastic, and it was not a reflection of a lot the older demographic in horse racing. There were a lot of young people out there enjoying themselves.
There really were. It was really quite the event. You know, I mean, NYRA did a terrific job. Take nothing away from them. You know, I always like to point out things that they don't do right. But this thing pretty much got right, Ralph. And the weather really cooperated. If it had to rain, it rained the right day. It rained on Sunday after a lot of people were leaving town already. And it just worked out well. And what's really good for them is, you know, Saratoga opens up on July 11th for their summer meet.
Yeah.
And this was a great introduction. You know, people that couldn't make it, well, now they'll think about coming. You know, we'll be here for 6 weeks, I believe, or whatever it is. And that was good for NYRA as well.
You know, a lot of your New Yorkers tend to, you know, take a little vacation to go up into the Catskills there in New York. Maybe they'll just forget that and stop, just go as far as Saratoga and enjoy that for a couple of days in the summertime.
Yeah, keep driving, you know, and they have Lake George past Saratoga,
yeah.
So people that are going to Lake George will stop at Saratoga,
yeah,
like they usually do.
It was good overall.
Listen, yeah, it really is. And last year they had horrible weather for 90% of the time they were here, but hopefully this year the weather will stay, you know, relatively good.
Well, I can tell you this, on the particular Triple Crown races, the Kentucky Derby handled $320,500,000. The Preakness handled $98,858,918. And the Belmont Stakes, you know, these are just those races alone, handled $125,748,941. And all but the Preakness race itself. Now, remember, on Preakness Day, the handle was still up over the previous year, but the actual Preakness itself fell about 2.7%. But the Derby was up 11%, the Belmont was up 6.30%, and the totals overall of the three races were up over 7%, 7.2% there. But it's interesting because, you know, the ADWs, of course, the betting mechanisms that are with the phone apps, etc. FanDuel, which is the one that, of course, has the major television network for horse racing, noted that it saw 200,000 of its customers on Derby Day betting on the race for the first time. So they got, you know, that's the exposure
new
you need.
Players.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, they have potential new customers.
Exactly.
And that's what they want.
Exactly.
And the reason, by the way, that I think the Preakness was down, if you remember, poured and rained that day, and the weather certainly played a role, I think, in that handle being down for that particular race.
Yeah, no question about that. That was, you know, the weather was iffy there, as it was at Saratoga as well. But the difference between the Preakness and being iffy there and Saratoga is that Saratoga, you had to make plans ahead of time to go. You had to get up there at Saratoga. So if you had already made those plans and gone and paid sometimes exorbitant prices to get there and enjoy yourself and be part of that experience, you were going no matter what. So that wasn't going to tail off too much. But the Preakness, which of course is in Baltimore, Maryland, at Pimlico Racecourse, that's in close proximity to driving from a lot of the major cities of people that might have went enjoyed going out to the Preakness. And they might have taken a look at the weather and said, you know what, I think I'll just stay home.
And once they committed to Saratoga, that's it. They were locked in. They weren't getting out, like you said, Ralph. You know, people paid a lot of money to come for those 4 days, and they weren't just going to walk away from it. But you're right. And listen, the weather really stayed away. It never really rained on Saturday on Belmont Day. It rained for 15 minutes on Friday, and Thursday was clear. So the only bad day was closing day. And again, if it had to be one day, I'm sure that was the day they would have picked.
Well, taking a look and kind of assessing and kind of looking at the Triple Crown races this year and what it meant as far as the three-year-old division. First of all, when you prevent Bob Baffert from going to the Kentucky Derby with some of the top three-year-olds in the country, you lose something automatically. Although, he did have representation in the Preakness and the Belmont. We will say that. But in any case...
But Ralph, it also wasn't his best three-year-olds. He had Muth sitting on the sidelines. He had Niso sitting on the sidelines. So the best three-year-olds may not have even run in any of these races. You know, Fierceness ran in one of them. And Sierra Leone, I guess, who was ranked up there in the top five, he ran in two of them. And he ran a second and a third. So there is no real superstar, or there is no one at the top of this class. I think if they ran these races 10 times, you'd probably get six different winners. You know, and again, we may not have seen the good ones run yet, the Nisos, the Muths. So it's still early. I mean, you know, they still have the Haskell and the Pennsylvania Derby and the Travers. Mm-hmm. So someone's going to step up and take charge.
Well, taking a look at the horses, Mystic Dan won the Kentucky Derby in a three-way driving photo finish. I believe that we can probably attest the fact that Mystic Dan got the best trip to get the win in the Kentucky Derby and just lasted to do that. Then you have...
But if you remember, Ralph, Brian Hernandez bounced off the rail. He made a choice. He went inside. He took the Calvin Burrell route.
Yeah.
And he didn't have the easiest of trips, but he certainly had the shortest trip home, and that's what made the difference.
You better believe it. Now, Seize the Gray, I think, seized the opportunity of getting the type of track that he liked in the Preakness Stakes, went out on the lead. Nobody really contested him, and he was gone there. And then, of course, you got Dornock, who won the Belmont Stakes. And all I can say is Dornock is the horse that many people liked going into the Kentucky Derby, on the road to the Derby, and then he fell from grace there, and he redeemed himself in the Belmont Stakes. Sierra Leone, I think, and Fierceness might be the two biggest disappointments, because Fierceness was the end-all horse from the Kentucky Derby. He was supposed to win it. He came up a cropper, never did race in the other two races. Then you got Sierra Leone that was always on the dance floor but never finished the job in the Triple Crown races and was kind of a disappointment in the Belmont Stakes. And then, of course, you've got Honoree, that's a horse that had, talk about troubled trips. I think this horse is the horse that wins the award for troubled trips as far as his Triple Crown run was concerned. And, you got, as you say, the best three-year-olds of this division may not have competed in the Triple Crown, because you got Mindframe, who had just a couple of races and phenomenal races as they were going into the Belmont. And his inexperience, I think, cost him a chance of maybe beating Dornock in the closing stages there. So we got that horse to look forward to. And, of course, when you talk about trainers, the big trainers, as far as the guys who have all those big horses for the Triple Crown and look forward to winning a Triple Crown race, Chad Brown, Todd Pletcher, Bob Baffert, and Brad Cox, none of them won the Triple Crown. And the only thing that you could say about this Triple Crown was the Preakness gave D. Wayne Lucas a chance to shine brightly again in his senior years as far as a trainer and his ability to train to a younger crowd of people. That's for sure. Because remember, before the Bob Bafferts and the Todd Pletchers and the Brad Cox and those folks got their multi-stables in multi-areas, D. Wayne Lucas was the first one to have multi-stables in a lot of different places back in the 70s. And so it was nice to see him getting a little bit of the spotlight again. But I think that pretty much wraps up the Triple Crown. What do you think?
I agree with everything you said. As far as the Preakness is concerned, the stars were just aligned for Seize the Gray that day. He turned out to love an off track. He turned out to be get a pretty easy lead. Imagination ran for with him for half a mile and then spit it out. And then the race was over. And you're right. Listen, Lucas deserved it. How many more of these is he going to be able to attend? It's not easy to get a horse to run in a Triple Crown race, Ralph. There are 20,000 horses born a year, and only 20 of them get to dance in these races. So think about those odds, you know, and it's amazing that he keeps coming back year after year. So that was one of the happy notes, you know, the Triple Crown. Sierra Leone, just the kind of horse that will always find trouble, it seems. He could be the most talented, but there are horses that just always find trouble. And apparently he's turning out to be one of those horses. Listen, it's only happened in a couple of races. He's only had, I think, 5 or 6 career starts. So, but when you're getting trouble in 4 of the 5 or 4 of the 6 races that you've run in, well, now you become trouble prone. And that's the case for Sierra Leone.
Well, what about your horse, Honor Marie? I mean, this horse was molested in the Kentucky Derby.
And Honor Marie wasn't some fancy, sexy horse from some fancy outfit. You know, was a smaller time trainer who was a terrific trainer. He worked for both Pletcher and Chad Brown. And he got totally wiped out in the Derby. And the race he had in the Belmont wasn't much better. He found trouble there as well. Yeah. It's amazing. You know, sometimes racing luck is more important, I guess, than anything else.
No question about that. That's for sure. And, you know, I saw a posting on X, I think it was yesterday or the day before, where a race player re-watched the replays of all three races, and including the Belmont Stakes with the head-ons, etc. And he noted that Sierra Leone was lugging in the stretch, although he didn't impede anybody, but he was lugging in the stretch, even in the Belmont Stakes with the new equipment.
So much for the new bit, so much for the new rider. It made zero difference. If anything, you know, maybe Pratt wasn't even familiar with this horse. He may have worked him once or something. Well, you know, when you make a change, you live and die with it. And listen, I had no problem with leaving Tyler Gaffalione on. I thought he did nothing but an amazing job to even finish second in the Derby, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I guess maybe the owners made the choice. You know, they paid the bill, so they get to choose who they want. But I don't know. It just didn't work out as they expected. And I know they were really disappointed. This is the most important meet, Saratoga, for Chad Brown. He was born and raised just a few miles from the track, and I'm sure he had to take it very hard.
Yeah, and, you know, the Saratoga meet proper is the one that he really looks forward to. But, you know, he had horses geared up for this four-day festival there, and it just didn't quite work out as far as the Belmont Stakes was concerned. But we're not going to cry crocodile tears for him. Everybody knows how great a trainer he is. And, a matter of fact, all the other great trainers that didn't get, their picture taken in the Triple Crown. But now we move on. And I got to tell you that I was impressed with Mindframe's run in the Belmont, even though he was erratic, green, I guess you would call it, through the stretch.
He was green as a cucumber, Ralph. Yeah. Remember, this is only his third career start. He's being asked to go 1.25 miles against seasoned horses, or certainly more seasoned than him. And in the middle of the stretch, it looked like he was going by, but then he decided to do a little dance. He was lugging in, lugging out. He went every which way but straight, but take nothing away from him. He's really got a bright career. Listen, he's been working heads up with Fierceness, so they thought the potential was there, and he proved that he's a real horse.
Yeah, no question about that. I think there may be an equipment change next time they run a Mind Frame. You might have Velcro on for the jockey.
Maybe.
Yeah, so in any case, but we'll wait and see, that's for sure. And now it sort of gets exciting because we've got, you know, the Haskell coming up, which, you know, Bob Baffert will be loaded for that one. You have the Pennsylvania Derby. You got the Travers going to be run at the same distance this year on the same racetrack as the Belmont Stakes was. So it's almost like a rematch if these horses come back and show up in that one. And maybe by that time we'll have Fierceness in there. And who knows what's going on with Nisos and Muth. So, you know, it's going to be exciting.
Exactly.
Yeah, and the Pennsylvania Derby, you know, it's going to be exciting the last part of the year for these three-year-olds, that's for sure. And, of course, they'll start mixing it up with the the handicap division a little bit later on. And, of course, I guess the first race, I think, of the year that really puts three-year-olds against four-year-olds, if they choose to run the three-year-olds, would be the Pacific Classic down there at Del Mar.
Yeah, we didn't even mention that race, and that's another big race to look forward to. And listen, we have certainly have some really nice horses on the horizon. Hopefully they stay in racing, and hopefully we have a nice Saratoga and Del Mar meet and, you know, keep building on this momentum.
Yeah, no question about that. We the Triple Crown itself and all three races, and certainly the Belmont Festival, has done the job of exposing this great sport and the excitement of this sport and the betting aspect as well to a whole new group of people. Now it's our job to keep them interested in coming back, and I think with the great racing on the racetrack and good coverage of those racing, I think we got a little momentum going for the second half of the year for horse racing. At least I hope so. That's for sure.
Ralph, the stat you mentioned a few minutes ago with 200,000 new bettors betting on FanDuel horse racing, I mean, are you kidding me? That's unbelievable news. It really is.
Well, it's not. It's 200,000 people that bet the Belmont for the first time. We don't know
okay,
if there were so, other raiders. But it's I get the point. That,
well,
you're absolutely
assume,
right.
I would assume they're new horse players. I don't know any horse player that hasn't played the Belmont in the past. So if this is the first time they're betting the Belmont,
yeah,
well, it's probably the first time they're betting horses.
Yeah.
Or close, you know.
No question about that. That's for sure. A couple of quick notes from you. The Asmussen judgment, any thoughts about that?
That's terrible. I mean, you know, if he was screwing the workers, well, then he deserves to pay it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's kind of difficult in horse racing, and I'm all for everybody getting every penny they can, but in horse racing, you know, it's kind of hard to punch a clock and out when you got horses that are training in the morning, walking in the afternoon. Sometimes you take them out to graze in the afternoon. Sometimes you have to have a groom there to watch him if, you know, a vet's coming by or, you know, he's getting shod by
But that sounds like a lot of money that wasn't paid
off.
I mean, you know, you're talking about a crazy figure here. After a couple of thousand, people would have complained, I would think. You're not going to let the bill run up to $500,000.
I got to say they probably were, but, you know, it's been over a period of time. It wasn't over just a short period of time, but it's, you know, everybody get their due. That's for sure. That's what I think. And of course, your thought about White Barrio going back to Safi Joseph Jr.
Well, here's the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is Safi Joseph should have never lost White Barrio, because if you remember what happened, Safi Joseph had a couple of horses that died, and Churchill decided to, that's it. They're going to rule him off the grounds like they did to Baffert.
Yep.
However, so now they left the owners no choice but to move the horses. But 2 weeks later, Churchill came back and said, you know what? Those deaths had nothing to do with anything wrong. Here's your license back. Well, that's great. They gave him his license back, but he lost White Barrio and I'm sure a bunch of other horses. Now what happens? So the owners were in a very tough situation, because here they gave the horse to Dutro. He wins the Breeders' Cup, a $6 million race. Now what do? You're not giving him back to Safi Joseph. And now, after a couple of bad races, they turn around and give him to Safi Joseph. I don't know. Loyalty in this game doesn't really exist anymore. Loyalty in this world really doesn't exist anymore. But it is what it is. And I don't think this horse will be racing much longer. I think they will retire him shortly.
And I know how much you just embrace and love racing on a synthetic racetrack. So what did you think about... What'd you think about Santa Anita telling everybody that coming up during their winter meet here next that we might be racing on that little oval that's inside the main track and the turf track, the synthetic track there?
It's a training track. How big could it be, Ralph? I don't know. What are they going to do, have six-horse fields?
Well, that's what they normally get anyhow. So that, they're not going to have a problem with a, you know, 12-horse field most of the time, that's for sure.
Well, but the good news is at least they'll rain on rainy days, maybe.
You mean run on rainy days. Yes, that's for sure.
Yeah, race on rainy days or run on rainy days.
Well, let's hope they do, that's for sure. But it was an exciting and certainly a different type of Triple Crown this year. And certainly I think a lot of positive things came out for it, both in the, for racing in the sport and for the horse players as well. All right, guys.
You know what it felt like, Ralph? It felt like there was a Triple Crown possibility, like someone was a lot. That's how much interest was in it. Like if there was someone going for the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
And that was the interest that I thought that it felt like. You know, the electricity was in the air, and they did a great job.
I know. And you were right in the hub of all that stuff there. I'm sure that as much as you wanted it to be a great experience for a lot of people, probably you were a little congested around the house for a while.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get started. Let's get some money. Let's start some money today. You had a couple of nice winners for us on Sunday.
All right. Let's go to Churchill. Look at race number 8, 1/16 on the main track. And I like the number 1 horse in here, Classic Catch. I like the rider switch today to Luis Saez. Third start back off of a layoff. Has the advantage of breaking from the rail going 2 turns. He's listed at 5-1 on the morning line. Number 1, Classic Catch, wins today's 8th race. Todd Pletch is the trainer. Luis Saez is the rider.
All righty. And he's 5-1, too, in the race that you see a 3-1 and a 7-2 shot and a 4-1 before that on the morning line. So he might hold the price. Number 1, Classic Catch. Luis Saez for Todd Pletcher, going to give us a winner in the 8th race today at Churchill Downs. That's the 1 in the 8th race at Churchill. And you do have a sheet for Churchill Downs today, right?
Correct. Tomorrow, by the way, we have a carryover at Santa Anita, pick 6 carryovers.
Yes, and we are racing on Thursday, by the way, at Santa Anita as well. So I want to remind everybody about that. There is a Thursday racing card tomorrow at Santa Anita, and there is a carryover from Sunday in the pick 6. See, Jonathan's right on top of all that stuff there. And you can get that sheet for his selections today at Churchill at your website. Right, Jonathan?
JONHJRDOON.com.
All right, my man.
Stay safe.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. All right.
Thank you.
When we come back, Rich Eng is standing by NBA Finals, but it looks like right now it might be lopsided. Let's see if Dallas can get back in the game. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas for this Wednesday as we ramp it up for the week. Coming up with the horse racing, of course, all this weekend. This weekend, Las Vegas style. Now we go to Rich Eng standing by. And Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
All right. Well, right now, because, you know, we're kind of just making our way into the weekend here, we're looking at, of course, sports with the wrap-up of the Stanley Cup there and, of course, the NBA Finals. But the NBA Finals look like it might be a sweep.
Well, both series are 2-0 Stanley Cup Finals. The Edmonton Oilers are trailing 2-0 to the Florida Panthers.
Yeah.
And in the NBA, the Celtics are 2-0 against Dallas. The game tonight, game three, is at Dallas. The Celtics are a 2.5-point underdog, Ralph, but it's really a game you cannot bet until you find out what's happening with Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah.
He injured a leg in game two at Boston. He's a game-time decision, and he made a huge difference in that Celtics team in game one and game two. If he does not play, that's a huge edge for Dallas. If he does play, then maybe the momentum continues for Boston. But Porzingis is a game-time decision.
All right. If he does or doesn't play, how much does it move, do you believe, the line? How much does he affect his participation, affect the line?
Well, it's 2.5 right now for Dallas. It might move the line a half point, maybe.
Okay, about a half point then. All righty. Well, it's almost a do-or-die time for Dallas. If they don't get this one, it's just almost mailing it in from here.
Yeah, they really need to win because if you remember during the NBA series with the Timberwolves in Dallas, Minnesota was down 3-0, and they kept putting the stat up where a team that had a 3-0 lead was something like 155-0. In other words, no team has ever come back from an 0-3 deficit in the NBA in a playoff series.
All right. Well, that will tip off tonight. We'll wait and see about that. But in the meantime, back to horse racing. I know this is not a day when you do any selections, but I know sometimes you get there and you start weeding out trying to find a horse. Did you do that today?
Yeah, I do have a horse, but if I could just take 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. I have a tangent on from the Belmont Stakes. I heard you and Jonathan talking about
the
FanDuel. You know, I thought one of the hidden gems coming out of the Belmont Stakes is that one of the co-owners of Dornoch is Jason Worth, who was a former professional baseball player. Mm-hmm. And if you saw some of the video, he compared winning the Belmont Stakes to when he won the World Series with the Philadelphia Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there is a connection between pro sports and horse racing that I think horse racing needs to capitalize on.
Yeah.
Jason Worth is one angle. Alex Bregman, the third baseman for the Houston Astros, his family has a racing stable.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Johnson, the Colorado Avalanche all-star defenseman, has a racing stable. And then you've got guys like Rick Pitino, Bill Parcells, Eddie Olczyk, who love horse racing. There's something there, Ralph, that horse racing needs to capitalize.
No question about that. That's for sure. And if you saw any of the footage, if you saw any of the video after the race, him in the winner's circle, Lana, he was jumping up and down and going crazy. I mean, he was really excited about winning that race. That's for sure. All right. So where are we going today for a horse?
We're going to upstate New York, Ralph. Race number 4 at Finger Lakes.
Oh, my.
It's a mile and 70 yards going along. Let's go with the number 2, Ruxton Rocks. This horse is trained by Anthony Ferraro. This horse has a really good resume at Finger Lakes from last year. Has been off just a little bit, but comes back fresh. 4-1 on the morning line. Let's go with the 2, Ruxton Rocks at Finger Lakes.
All right, 6-horse field, and at 4-1, he is not the first, second, or third favorite. He's 4th on the morning line at 4-1. Competitive race it is. So in the 4th race of Finger Lakes, you like number 2, Ruxton Rocks, the 2, and the 4th at Finger Lakes. Hey, thanks a lot, Richie. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Good luck, everybody.
All right, taking our final break. We're coming back with John Lindo. Don't go away.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
Alrighty, we'll put finishing touches on this Wednesday race day show with our man from Southern California, John Lindo. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing fine, my man. Kind of bittersweet ending at Golden Gate on Sunday, huh?
Yeah, kind of sad. We're going to miss that place, and a lot of good horses, a lot of good horsemen, jockeys and trainers have been through there, and a beautiful setting for racing, and to not have it there, it casts more doubt in what we're trying to do in California to keep racing, not flourishing, but keep going at least to be at the class level it has been for decades and decades.
Yeah, no question about that, that's for sure. And I know that it was kind of, I don't know, kind of uneasy, I thought, to have the all the crew and everything, a lot of the Santa Anita commentators for Santa Anita up there at Golden Gate, almost celebrating the close of Golden Gate when, it kind of felt like bittersweet.
You know, if only the ownership had paid as much attention to when Golden Gate was going and tried to promote the product and got it out there, you saw almost 6,000 people show up on closing day when everybody knew what was going on. But, as far as a media and promotional standpoint, Golden Gate's been in the dark for years. Mm-hmm. And, if you don't tell anybody, they're not going to come.
Yeah, that's quite. And by the way, when you I thought Todd Trupp of FanDuel did a great job with a piece that he had. I don't know if it was actually placed on FanDuel, but it was on X, and I saw it several times, and it was really a great job talking about the great history of Golden Gate. There was a lot of great stuff that went on at that racetrack over the years.
The only problem I had, and the video was really nice, but the only problem I had, there was not one mention or clip of Jerry Hollendorfer. I know, there have been issues between the ownership and Jerry Hollendorfer, but you cannot ignore a guy that won the training title there for 27 straight years. And, Hollendorfer and Bays was just the common term up in Northern California for decades. And it should be at least acknowledged for his accomplishments for what he did up there.
Yeah, there's no question about that. You are absolutely right on that one. But I can tell you one thing right now. Still some of the most dramatic footage I've ever seen in a horse race is those races by Silky Sullivan and how he closed. He closed from zip codes away from the lead. It was really astonishing. People looking at that today may think that it's been a doctored video, but it isn't. That's exactly the way he ran.
Oh, yeah. He had to be 25, 30 lengths behind down the backside. And he's winning going 6.5 or 6 furlongs.
So yeah.
Impossible to get up, and he got there.
No question about that. Of course, everybody thought on pins and needles waiting for him to do the same thing in the Kentucky Derby, but that never happened.
Well, yeah, a little different class of horse, I think. Yeah. And those good ones don't come back like some of the cheaper horses do.
No, that's for sure. But it was a great run at Golden Gate, and we're sorry to see it go. But we are, even though the Northern California thoroughbred racing is kind of on life support, we are going to say there might be a miracle going on there, and maybe we'll get that Northern California racing back, at least on a solid foundation, maybe not as high or with the, certainly with the history that Golden Gate had, but good competitive racing up there. Let's hope for that.
Well, yeah, for now it'll be status quo. We go into the fair season, Pleasanton opens on Friday, and we'll go through Sacramento and Fresno and Santa Rosa and up at Ferndale.
Yeah.
When we'll find out what it's going to be like will be in the fall, come October, when the usual Golden Gate autumn meet starts, and that will be when we go to Pleasanton in Northern California. And we'll have to see how the handle and the field size, if it maintains, and at that point we'll have a better idea what's going to happen with Northern California racing.
Going into the final week of the Hollywood meet at Santa Anita, we'll be running a special card tomorrow. And, of course, as Jonathan, reminded, there's a carryover in the pick six. And we'll go through Sunday, correct?
Right. And 9 races tomorrow, 10 races on Friday. So it looks like they're going to pile the races through closing day.
Mm-hmm.
Field sizes are good tomorrow, 73 horses in the 9 races.
And then, of course, we'll take a couple days off and start with the Los Alamitos L.A. County Fair meet there at Los Al. We'll have Bob Mazursky along with us covering that from Los Alamitos as well. So racing is, now we're going through a little bit of the transition. And, of course, we can see ahead on the road that the big breakfast, lunch, and dinner time that we have with Saratoga and Del Mar when they start. It's going to be a lot of fun, that's for sure. And, of course, I think the Triple Crown has opened up this great sport to a lot of new people, that's for sure. All right, we're going to wrap up this show by reminding everybody that, John, you'll be back with us tomorrow. with your sheet for Santa Anita, right?
We'll be all set to go for Santa Anita through the weekend. Yes, Ralph.
All right, you got it. Well, we're going to wrap up this show with one more thing to say. And since Jerry is on sabbatical, it's going to be John Lendo. So go ahead, John.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Serrato at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at KSHP.gov.